Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell, to hold their prestige and power at your expense. I'm doing this for the people and for the movement, and we will take back this country for you, and we will make America great again.
So with the vaccine mandates over at Disney, our lawyer Jeff Childers at the time was working behind the scene with Florida legislators, and they did a special session. It took 6 months or 5 months to actually get it, because a lot of the Republican in the House and the Senate were inside word is they didn't want to do it. Governor DeSantis was pushing for it, which was unfortunate. And to this day, I say, where were all these people when we needed them to defend us and speak for us? And they were totally silent. They went kicking and screaming, but we did the special session, and Jeff Childers was able to work with the legislators, and they drew up legislation for the mandate. So they saved a lot of people's jobs. But unfortunately, kind of like the Supreme Court, Hannah, where the deadline, I think, was January 13th or whatever the date was, they dragged it on past that. They didn't do a stay. So people lost their jobs or caved in. Those people never got their jobs back. And those people that caved in never got to take that stuff out of their bodies. The same thing in Florida, where they went past that point where they, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs, never got their jobs back. And a lot of people that caved in, took the shots, you know, they couldn't go back on that. But we were able to do it and save a lot of jobs here in Florida, which was a great thing. But it left the door wide open for discrimination, because they left the loophole open so that they can have the CMS money, preserve the money for the hospitals and those jobs. And just like the baby that they split in the Supreme Court decision, where they went against the mandates, but they preserved the CMS for the hospitals. And that left the door open for discrimination. So they had a lot of discriminatory practices, a lot of people with religious exemptions that were, what we were able to do too, is that when Jeff Childers had the meeting with all the plaintiffs in Disney, the next day Disney started approving a lot of the religious exemptions. So the pressure was on. So all that played a role, and we were able to get the religious exemptions, but they unfortunately still started torturing people, I would say, because it put the star on people with the discrimination. People were still having to, you know, wear a mask. We had to wear an N95 mask with a warning sign on it and a shield for a while other cast members didn't. And the crazy thing is those cast members that were vaccinated were getting sick. Some of them were being hospitalized, and we were standing out. And I tell people that the dangerous thing with the discrimination is not that discrimination is really bad, and trying to work with an N95 mask and then a cloth mask later on is really hard after 10 hours, because it's not meant to be that way. But the normalization, the demoralization, and then the normalizing, that sets up for the next step. And that's what we've really been fighting against, setting up for the next step. So we eventually, with our attorney now, Rachel Rodriguez, we launched a lawsuit to fight against the discrimination part. And that's where we are with Disney, fighting the discrimination. And then Disney decided they were going to launch a fight against DeSantis when he went with the parental rights and education bill. So I didn't see the wokeness coming on steroids, that, you know, and there I was fighting against discrimination and mandates. And then we had the wokeness take center stage. So then we started fighting the wokeness as well. So that's where we're at. Fighting.
Sounds like a battle on all fronts.
Like our country, right? Yeah. Like our country. We're fighting on all fronts, but those are two fronts, big fronts here at Disney that we've been fighting. But,
I've also gotten involved. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as employees, like you were saying, it was segregation, because those of you that had to wear a mask, and I think we talked about this last time, the people knew that you were the ones that were unvaccinated. And then the ones that didn't have to, the cast members that were vaccinated, I believe, didn't have to. So it's like it was segregation, and it was almost like I would see it and almost like a form of public humiliation, almost in a sense, like, oh, that's the person, they didn't get vaccinated. Let's look at them and make them feel bad because they didn't get an experimental vaccine.
Yeah. And it was on, and it was on two fronts, because guests were asking us, they would literally ask us, how come you're the only one wearing the mask and that everybody I could see. Mm-hmm. So, and then on top of it, it was also other cast members who looked at us like a vector of disease. So you couldn't go to the same break rooms. You couldn't do, you know, so it was very difficult. And for people with thick skin like me, I dealt with it a lot better, but people who were not, that were more sensitive to it. And there was an instance where there was a young lady who, and there were many stories like this, but one in particular where a young lady decided over her N95 mask, she put a cloth mask to hide the N95 mask. And Disney decided to come out and tell her that if she didn't remove that cloth mask to hide the N95 mask with a warning sign, they were going to add more PPE to her. So that told you right there what it was about. And it really depended on the location and the managers and how they were interpreting the rules. I was fortunate at my location where I had better managers, but a lot of people really had to deal with that. And it was really tough for a lot of people. And it's not just us. It was all through Florida, all through the country. But in Florida, where they had those PPE rules in place, there were people who got the wrong vaccine. So they thought of Johnson & Johnson, but then the hospital would say, nope, that we don't count that anymore. So now you have to wear a symbol to let everybody know that you're not vaccinated, after they were demoralized and humiliated to take a vaccine they didn't want. And now we've been vindicated because it never did what they promised it was going to do. But nobody's apologized, right? Nobody's apologized, and they're still trying to hold these things up. So it's really interesting how these things are unfolding. Lawsuits are being won. Lawsuits are being launched all over the country right now. So it'll be interesting to see how all this unfolds. But it's amazing that they're still trying to hold up this emperor that wears no clothes, and they're still trying to hold it up.
I know, because we know now it didn't work, or it doesn't do what it said they were going to. They said it was going to do. It has a lot of adverse reactions. But did you? I know you mentioned some of the coworkers that had been vaccinated. I think you guys noticed that they were getting sick. Did you see more of the coworkers that you were working with getting sick that had been vaccinated rather than those of you that weren't?
Absolutely. Because many of us had all gotten COVID, you know, so we had natural immunity. It was a lot more robust. And I think everybody else that we're finding out now, the vaccines, those who are getting the vaccines and depending on them, especially getting the boosters, their immunity is being compromised. Mm-hmm. And we already have the data out there. They're more likely to get sick. So yeah, it was definitely seen that way. And then, you know, it's interesting. We've had several cast members that I know closely that died, that had other issues. But, it's hard to understand. And my word that I use these days is we don't know how to quantify, you know, how much of that attributed to their deaths. But people are, you know, there was somebody next door who died of a heart attack, who was fairly young, didn't have any existing conditions that we knew, and they just died of a heart attack. And they were a big vaccine proponent, and so I won't get into too many details there. But yeah, it is interesting to see, and I think it's going to become more and more obvious as time goes on. But people are still with their blinders on. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to believe. And sudden adult death syndrome is just something that happens and nobody could explain. Kids with myocarditis and pericarditis is just something we can't explain. But at some point, they're going to run out of the all-cause mortality that's exploding. They're going to run out of excuses and ways to explain away what they couldn't figure out. I think the correlations are there. It's sad. It's sad because
very sad. And we can't see a lot of the autopsy reports from people. They're not releasing them, making them public, as a lot of times they would. And you can't determine and they're not allowing a lot of this to be known, what the cause of death in it is, because the few that have come out, the ones that I've heard about, they're finding abnormal growths and stuff in these people and things that they've never seen growing in their lungs. And they're like, we have no idea what this is. And is it from the vaccine and the boosters? Well, like I said, the government and Pfizer and Moderna, they don't want people to have access to their records and the transparency that should come from people who are determining what we take what we put into our bodies. There should be full transparency there, but there's not from the government and from these companies. And whenever you have people in government having stocks, having family members that sit on boards in these companies, whether they're bad or good products, which we know they're bad, but it doesn't matter whether they're bad or good. That just breeds corruption because there's no accountability for if something goes wrong. And there's hardly any way to sue any of these companies because they're protected by all of these government regulations and stuff and all that. And it's very hard to sue them. So it's a whole cycle of just corruption. And I think we've seen that with COVID and the vaccines.
I think their Achilles heel and all that, and that's a great assumption, a great analysis of everything. I think the Achilles heel of this is fraud opens up the door for them to be sued. And now it's been clearly established that there's been fraud. So they just got emboldened. They've been getting away with it for a long time. And I think they thought they were Teflon. And I think the doors are open for the fraud cases. I'd like to mention an article. There was a retired cardiologist. His name is Russell L. Blaylock. And it's on an NIH, kind of like a peer-reviewed thing writing. And Russell L. Blaylock, COVID update, what is the truth? I thought that was the greatest summation of recent times where he summed it all up. And everything we just talked about, he put in that article. It's a long article, but I really encourage anybody who's listening to your podcast to just Google that. And it'll pop right up. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm writing it down now. Yeah. What does the article say specifically, or kind of in a summation of it?
He sums it all up, all the stuff about the autopsy, how Fauci is basically not wanting autopsies from the deaths and from the vaccines and stuff like that, about everything COVID related, vaccine related, data related. One of the greatest things that I got out of this that really struck me, and I heard about it, is that these vaccines, the ones that were troubled, they call them hot batches. And the hot batches that the troubled vaccines, you're able to go back to that batch and go, these batches were extremely toxic by 1,000 times and multi-thousand times. But he said the smoking gun in all this is that if a hot batch was released, it would be unintentional and it would go to a specific location because you would box it up and it would go there. But they took these hot batches and they dispersed them and scattered them. So there was no way to determine, and it was not as obvious as they were adverse reactions and killing people, that they were scattered throughout the country and throughout wherever they were releasing them. So that's the smoking gun and shows nefarious intent. And there's a video that's in that article that he released showing the data where people dug into this complicated data. But the hot batches were just spread out. And that's why we all wondered, well, how come some people are okay and some people are not? And there was a German chemist in Germany who, I don't know if you saw that video, he was a graphite expert showing that the graphite was in these shots. And they had one of his live interviews that he was recording, I think, or it was live, the police broke in to get him. And then a week later, he shows up dead. So he speculated the reason that some people get adverse reactions and die from the vaccines and others don't was the graphene was going, it was either going into the muscle or it was hitting a direct vein and it would go right into the system. And I thought, well, maybe that sounded like a really good explanation. It sounded reasonable and that might be the case. But this hot batches stuff being diverse and spread out seems to be a better explainer and probably correlated with that stuff. But I think the hot batches explains for us, a lot of us, like how come so many soccer players over in Europe and how many so we're here are dying. And then why are these people seem to be okay? And I think that helped create that environment where most people would go, well, nothing happened to me and my family. I don't know what happened to you, or they don't pay attention to it. I think that's how they did it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely going to have to look at that article because that sounds very, very interesting. But that, like you said, it explains why we are seeing certain deaths in some areas and not in other areas. And they're kind of spread out. So that way you don't notice the direct correlation. Be like, hey, wait a second. All these people got vaccinated and they all died. So they kind of had to spread it out to keep that little under wraps, that little secret under wraps. But I wanted to ask, I know that you recently, I think a few months ago, had the press conference with the Children's Health Defense. I think down there in Florida, you guys had a press conference. How did that go? Like the community involvement, the community reach, like, did you guys do really well with that? How do you think that kind of went over?
I think that went really well. The only problem was we did a press release. The Newswire denied us the press release on real shaky, silly grounds. There was no defending what they did. There's an article out by Undercover DC that they covered it, and they covered our response to it. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have any news, major news show up, but the Epoch Times did show up. I hear they're working on a story based on it. It was a lot of information for them to write about. 3 or 5 hours of testimony, but they're trying to do that justice. I'm in talks with a filmmaker that saw all the testimonies and was really emotionally struck by all the families. So there may be coming a film out of that. Patty, I think Patty Myers, which was one of the wives that lost her husband that testified mm-hmm. that day, she has a press release that came out with Senator Ron Johnson, and it's called Making a Killing. It's now available. It's out there. I could send you a link for that. Cloud Hub has it up on their site as well. I think YouTube and makingakillin.com. What was really good was everybody that was there and all the families that really supported each other and poured out their hearts, the testimony, to see the emotion and the tears that would just erupt in the audience as they were listening to these people pour out their hearts, the discrimination, the vaccine injured. I think it was a step in the right direction. A lot of people really responded when they saw the streaming of it, but it was just really blocked like everything else. But I think it's just, we just have to keep pounding the rock and grinding this rock down. And I think this was just another step in the right direction. And recently, an activist here in Orlando who does a lot of great work, Justin Harvey, he organized an event to get all the vaccine injured people to speak at the, not the Chamber of Commerce, but to speak before the mayor here in Orange County. And we had several families come out. I ended up getting sick, as I told you, so I didn't get to make it. But now that video is out there, and it's public. It's public knowledge. It's public record. And I know Governor DeSantis's press person just retweeted the video. So we know we're making headway there. So all these things, we just have to keep pushing and keep making the effort to keep getting the knowledge out there. But I think it's getting that mainstream, not mainstream attention, but it's getting that mainstream outreach out there, because the mainstream media is still not doing it. But we know, like, Tucker Carlson has been real active and proactive. Mm-hmm. And so we're, you know, it's getting there. We just have to keep pushing. But I think it was a success in many ways. I just wish it would have gotten the mainstream attention and the press would have come in the room. And where I've had the press, where we've done the discrimination lawsuit, we had all the news cameras show up, and then it went viral eventually around the country within 3 days. This topic is still taboo. They don't want to touch the hospital protocol stuff. But I think with all the lawsuits that are popping up, and our attorney, Rachel Rodriguez, is defending some of the families, former mm-hmm. feds, Dr. Martin is doing a lot of lawsuits. I think we're all making headway. We're pushing.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Are you seeing, and are the people that you're with seeing, a lot of people start to kind of wake up to the adverse reactions, like the people that have gotten the vaccines, that have given it to their children? Are you seeing kind of an upward trend of people kind of starting to wake up on that? Because I've even seen it in my area around here in Kentucky, you know, children having issues that they shouldn't be having. And even I know recently the RSV in babies is making a really big comeback, and it's not normal for this time of year. And so I've been seeing articles about that, and you have to wonder if that's related to vaccines or something in that area. But are you guys kind of seeing a lot of people start to wake up, or a lot of people start at least asking questions, like, you know what, maybe you guys aren't nuts, like, can you guys explain this more to me, this to me more?
yeah, and I did see it at work. I've had people approaching me at work, and I saw a wave of people waking up and approaching me and talking mm-hmm. about it, me personally. But I think finally we got to that line in the sand where the people who are on the one side have dug in. And mm-hmm. you've had a lot of people that were suspicious, that caved in, that didn't want to, but now have realized I made a mistake mm-hmm. and confide and open up, at least to me directly. But I've seen that in my experiences. I've gone along. But I think there is that segment that has just dug in. And I think that quote that's attributed to Mark Twain, easier to convince people they've been fooled, easier to deceive people than to convince people they've been fooled. And I think those people, for whatever reasons, have really dug in, as well as the people that are maybe accountable, that need to be held accountable. Those people are protecting themselves, their loved ones, their families, those people that had a part in helping push this harm on people. I think those people are the most aggressive defenders of not admitting, you know, the wrongs that have been done.
Yeah. Well, you're right. The Mark Twain quote about it's easier to fool people than to get them to admit that they have been fooled, because as humans, we're naturally, you know, prideful. We don't like to admit, oh, they got me. We don't like to admit that it's not in our nature. But I was going to ask, we recently saw there was supposed to be the red wave, you know, politics. It didn't really happen across the board as people thought. But I mean, Florida had a total just red tsunami. Do you think that the support for Governor DeSantis and other Republican leaders down there that have stood up, did stand up during COVID, do you think that kind of helped him, like have the big him and his counterparts help them with the big red tsunami that they just happened? Do you think that his handling of COVID helps that?
I think so. I think people here in the state really saw the effects of it. And it's not just that, it's all the wokeness that he took on. It's everything else. But I think getting the elections in Florida under control, there was still a lot of fear because there's a lot of Dominion machines still operating here in the state of Florida. But I think there was enough people here, and Florida's a unique place where a lot of people got involved, and there's a lot of organizations and a lot of working together and interacting also with Tallahassee and the administration. I think that helped all that together. So I really believe all these other states, there would have been a lot more of a red wave if they would have had their elections together. And I think a lot of the 2020 stuff is creeping out, that there's a lot more unsavory activity going on with the elections. I think it's clear that that's happening. Everywhere that's delayed their counting has favored in the Democrats winning and the progressive winning. So we showed that it can be done. We're the third most populated state in the union, and look how quickly we got our elections done. And we did it also for 2020. I think so. The fact is, there's no way that all these other states could be as reserved with all the crime, with all the inflation, with all the other stuff. I think that's where it is. I think the elections got done right here. Plus, DeSantis has been so vocal and so strong of a leader. I think all that played into the big tsunami. But I think we would have seen a lot better numbers everywhere else, and we'd have at least the Senate, even if it was by a narrow margin, if they had their elections in better control. But all these other states were warned, and they didn't do anything about it, because I think they're all either on the take, they're compromised. You know, there's a lot of reasons, I'm sure, but they're not really worried about winning for the right reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know one of the issues that was also big this election is, and you mentioned it before, is the woke stuff that came in. Because like I said, we saw COVID, and then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we started seeing a lot of the woke stuff, CRT, and particularly in the last year, transgender and stuff. And I know Disney's been very, you know, supportive of that kind of the woke culture and stuff, and them trying to, you know, have that fight with DeSantis and then pushing for these liberal policies like the Don't Say Gay bill, which was not what it said. But when that happened, I think over the summer or whenever that was. But have you been seeing working at Disney? Have you been seeing kind of some of that woke stuff and just there, or is it not really at Walt Disney World, kind of in the sense of you're working around it?
It you know, it's calmed down a little bit, but when they first took the stand, I think they, you know, the press wanted it to be a big deal, like all these employees, and they were going to walk out. Well, the day of the walkout here in Florida, there was one person showed up, and I have the video of it because somebody knows they had it where I have all our rallies. So I found the spot that I kind of, and since then we've had all these rallies. Sean Foy came and did a concert over there, and that became the hotspot. So this one person came to rally for the wokeness. And what was interesting, you had people, guys in dresses and beards, and I don't know whether they decided that they were going to just kind of express themselves and or be funny. Maybe they thought they were being funny. But there were people that were in beards and dresses serving tables. But that seemed to have calmed down, and I hadn't seen that anymore. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is that Disney has become the safe place for a lot of these people. So mm-hmm. I heard people in call centers that were calling me saying they're hiring all these people and they're talking about all their sexual things and that they're going to fight DeSantis out in the open, all these things that were not open done. And there were men in leopard print, bearded and stilettos going into the women's bathroom. All that stuff was not appropriate for the mm-hmm. workplace. So it's been really interesting, but we know media wise, they are pushing forward with their agenda. Mm-hmm. So that's happening. And I'm sure we're going to start seeing it implemented into the parks, but it hasn't been yet. And what I always tell people, what the other side likes to do is they push the envelope so far and they shock and awe people. Then they pull back halfway and everybody feels better. And then they wait and they push again. And they just, you know, they do it here, here, here. And then if they don't do it all at one time. So they're working their way there. But it's bigger than just Disney. This is not just a Disney thing. This is a global thing. These drag shows and children going into bars to see these drag shows, whoever thought that they would be letting children into these bars? It started in the libraries and the bookstores. Now it's in bars and it's happening all over the country. Christopher Rofu wrote an article, and I recommend everybody reading it, that traces back this drag queen explosion and the activists that were involved that were into all this orgy, really kinky, heavy duty stuff, and how they wanted to take it mainstream. And part of this traces back to what they're using as minor attracted people is they want to get to the kids. So when you read Christopher Rufo's article, I recommend everybody reading it. You real understand people on the other side that are maybe real naive, and parents bringing their kids to these things think that they're bringing in the civil rights of our time, making their kids more tolerant. No, they're trying to get to your kids. Because if you understand how psychology and how children work, once their minds are exploited and open to that point, they're really, the word grooming is really what fits there. And they're trying to get to the kids. And I think parents are either naive or they're corrupted. And there's been a lot of them that have been corrupted. And I would recommend on ABC Today, I think whatever, there's a program that was Michael Strahan is on, and they brought in Devin the Magnificent, which was 11-year-old boy, and they've exploited him on Good Day America, mm-hmm. I think it was. So mm-hmm. so they're doing these things, yeah. and then they're holding back, and it's getting bigger and bigger. The more we've allowed it, the bigger the wave is going, and I think people have not really stood their ground yet or realized how significant it is, because they push and then they hold back.
Yeah. Well, like you said, with children, I mean, that one day they might think they're a dog, and one day they might want to be a monkey, and one day they might want to be a firefighter. It's just children. It's the, you know, the imagination that they have. But whenever you when you open their minds up to these ideas and ideologues and all this, when they're so young, they're trying to push it on prepubescent children. They haven't even gone through puberty yet, and already giving them things like puberty blockers, which aren't puberty blockers. And we have no idea, like Tucker Carlson has talked about this many times and others, like we have no idea the long-term effects, what this, and openly transgender people are coming out against talking about this with children. Cause they're like, if they want to do that later on, they can do that. They have the free will, but don't push it on children. And these people are trans themselves. That's what I found so funny about this whole situation, is they're trans themselves. So what are they? They're homophobic against themselves because they're saying you can't talk about it with children. It really is ridiculous. And like I said, it's not just Disney or even it's a whole globalist idea and just destroying a generation, which is what they're trying to do.
What they're trying to do. They're destroying, it's tools in the Marxist toolbox is what I like to say. And they're using mm-hmm. it to really just drop a grenade into family structure and to parents and these kids. I knew a young lady at 11 who came and said, you know, all my friends are pans and bisexual and they don't even know what that means. But this young person had enough grounding in themselves to say, you know, it's ridiculous and it's crazy. A few years later, that same person caved in because the pressure is there and it's consistent. And they know that they can get to these kids if they keep doing it because they have the media, they have the stars, they have all this influence that out there, and they're doing it to all these people, and they're breaking down the family structure, and a healthy family is what keeps a society together. So these people that are doing this, they're influencing these kids, and these kids think they're fighting for their freedom, but they're fighting for their own destruction. And they're, many of these trans kids are coming out and saying they're not, and many of them are detransitioning, and they're realizing and saying, I never found happiness. And you don't find many of these people that say they found happiness. They don't, you know, they're the answers they're looking for, they can't find in this identity. You know, the answers they're looking for can only be found in the creator of all things, which is Christ. Mm-hmm. And they're taking them far away from that. And I say they're loading them up on the ship of crazy, and they're taking them so far out from the shores of truth that when they try to go look back for some guidestones, for something that gives them some grounding and some truth, there's nothing. They're not going to find it because they're inverting everything, and they're taking them so far away from it, and they're trying to give them new things to fill those voids that are worthless and that will not fill any void or offer in any solutions. And that's the insanity of it. They're just creating and breeding these people and these young people. And Bill Maher made the observation that California has a lot more of these trans confused kids than Ohio, because they're doing it a lot more freely over there. So it's clearly something that they're breeding and creating.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. So as someone who's worked at Disney for a while, excuse me, do you see, it getting worse in the future or getting better? Like, I don't know. Are there a lot more like-minded of employees like you that know the truth about this and that could make change maybe in the future? Or do you see Disney kind of continuing on this path towards kind of the woke culture?
There's a lot more people than people realize, but they're scared to speak up. A lot of them, a lot of people like to hold their faith, and they think their faith is something private, and they don't realize that the world needs salt and light more than ever before. So there's a lot of that. But at the same time, it's not the employees that control things. A lot of the reason I haven't left is because, just like the police, the military, the hospitals, they're purging all of us out of there, and there's no voices left. So as I prayed and I was debating whether it was time for me to go, I came up with the conviction is that I needed to remain a voice on the inside. And I recommend everybody hang in there as long as they can, because you got to be that voice, that salt and that light. But what people need to understand is, you know, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard own 88-90% controlling interest in the S&P 500. They own everything. And even they don't need to own it all completely. They just need to own controlling interest. That's why State Farm will have to give out books to, they want to give out transgender books to 5-year-olds, because they created it. They're pushing the agenda. They're breaking down the system. And they're also using things like ESG scores, where I don't know if your listeners understand what that is. It's a system they created, like a credit system for environmental social governance. Yeah. So what they do is these companies are forced to, they have controlling interest, but then they force these companies to go towards this climate change stuff, which is all a hoax, as they fly in their private jets and all this craziness. But they also have to get involved in opening themselves up more and more to this cultural accepted stuff that they're pushing, which is transgender and the grooming and all this other stuff, so that they can get the good loans, they can get the investments. That, and it's like a credit, it's like a social credit system for businesses. And ESG scores, as you may know, like Sri Lanka reached the highest ESG score ever, 98%, and the whole country collapsed. So they know what they're doing. We have a real world how it works. Their goal with these things is to collapse things. And you see FTX, the exchange that just went bust, that was funding all the Democratic Party. They had a higher ESG score than a lot of these other companies. Well, that's what ESG scores create. It creates frauds. And they're trying to create frauds out of everybody, which makes everybody distrust the system. So do I see Disney going better? I don't see how that happens unless it all collapses and people buy up the company and activists get involved. But I mm-hmm. keep saying, and I said in an interview earlier today, I think we're way past salvaging any of this stuff mm-hmm. unless we get to our knees and by the grace of God, mm-hmm. we have a revival. Yeah. And I think that's what we really need. I'm not for somebody saying that Christians need to take over government, but I think truth needs to pervade. And I think we need, mm-hmm. I need a supernatural intervention for anything real significant to happen.
Yeah. Because as fellow Christians, like I said, we know it's only Christ that changes the heart. You can try to, you can't legislate morality. You can try to legislate the way that, you know, God leads based on biblical principles. But at the truth of it, the heart of man, if he doesn't accept Christ, it's sinful and he's going to do all these things, transgender right. and children and all this other stuff. And it's just because they know nothing else. They don't have a new nature. They just have their sinful nature. So it's funny. I find it funny that Christians are so surprised that a lot of this stuff has happened because I'm like, they don't know Christ. What do you expect? And a lot of times Christians have not been involved in areas. And I mean, I guess that's okay, but I'm, the world is controlling a lot of this stuff. And it's like, why do we expect how should they be different from us? They should be different from us. They should be pushing all this stuff because they don't have that new nature. Like you said.
Yeah. And I think a lot of Christians felt that I think the social engineering aspect of it is they made many Christians feel like keep your faith private. Don't mm-hmm. be offending people out there. And yeah. I think people were scared to be salt and light when there was more opportunity for it so that they could speak the truth in love, but be firm. And sometimes love has to be difficult. Some love has to be mm-hmm. hard. True. And I think we gave up a lot of ground. And every time we gave up ground, we never got it back. And I don't think mm-hmm. you get it back without God intervening at this point. I'm really encouraged by some of the people that are stepping up into the politics now. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in legislating morality, but I think there needs to be a greater influence. And I think common mm-hmm. sense should be kicking in. We just need common sense back. There are things that work and things that don't work. And this circling the drain kind of morality and mm-hmm. and things that lead to higher crime and all the things that they're doing, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, it's good that Disney has employees like you working for it, even though you're not at the top, you're not the one making the decisions. And like you said, BlackRock, you have the illusion of choice. All these companies, like you said, BlackRock and a lot of these, they own pretty much everything. So you think you have a choice. It's the illusion of choice. But it's good, like you said, that people will still stay in the fight. And, you know, maybe you can't change everything. Maybe you can't change the direction. Everything will still be going, you know, downhill. But at least you can have a little bit of impact and a little bit of light is better than all darkness. So
I agree. Yeah. And I think each influence you have, you know, I mm-hmm. believe winning souls yeah. for the kingdom and you're holding back a total collapse of everything, which is important. And I know I sound negative on the old the outlook, but at the same mm-hmm. time, I have to be realistic because the real solution is when we come to the end of ourselves. And when we really finally come to the end of ourselves, we have all the hope in the world because God is greater than all things and all things are possible through him. So I really have a lot of hope, but I don't have hope until we come to the end of ourselves and look directly there for the solution. I don't think the political solutions and all those things are they're, you know, I'm always hopeful, but at the sense, I don't really see much value in them compared to really getting to the end of ourselves and letting Christ kick in.
Yes, absolutely. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Nick. It's been so great having you on. And I really just hope you guys do well in all your legal battles and, you know, making all the COVID stuff and all that and all that was done to you guys. You know what? I really hope blessings to you guys in all your legal battles because these people need to pay for what they've done to people. These ones that have this small group needs to pay what they've done to
everybody,
the regular everyday American. Yep.
Amen. I mean, there needs to be accountability. Yep. There needs to be accountability. There is a talk of amnesty. And I'm like, I feel like we're in World War II and we just took the beachhead of Normandy. They're shooting yeah. bombs and they're firing at us going, we want amnesty. I'm like, mm-hmm. drop your guns. Let's get to some truth and then we'll talk about where the amnesty belongs because many people there needs to be full accountability.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Nick. I've loved having you on. It's been great. I'm sure I will have you on again probably later on and talk more about the updates of your legal battles and see how all of that's going.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Hannah. Great talking to you again.
thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.